Now, this morning, the HSE is launching a framework for the care and support of teenagers with cancer. We'll hear from Professor Owen Smith, who's the National Clinical Lead for Child, Adolescent and Young Adult Cancers in a moment. But first, our reporter Peter O'Connell spoke to Dr. Karen O'Neill. Now, she's now a specialist registrar in paediatrics based in Portiuncula in Galway. But when she was 16, Dr. O'Neill got cancer, acute myeloid leukaemia, and Karen needed 5 months treatment, most of it spent in Crumlin Children's Hospital.
Just finished my junior cert, had the summer of my life, but as the summer progressed, started to feel a little bit dizzy and tired, and had gone back to school after the summer holidays when I went for blood tests that afternoon, and within hours was being told that I had leukaemia. And within days, you know, had gotten all my results back, got a central line in and started my chemotherapy. So it was almost like flung into this harsh reality of being a cancer patient. And, you know, I feel like in my head, you'd always think that having cancer, you'd be really sick or, you know, this diagnosis was sort of expected. But for me, like, it came totally out of the blue. A couple of hours after living a normal life in school, I was thrown into it. All my friends were in transition year, were going out, living their lives, like becoming independent and doing all sorts of things that are never spoken about again. While on the other side, I was sitting in a hospital bed, needing my parents to help me to go to the toilet and have a shower every day, not having any sort of minutes away from them and being kept under like lock and key and wrapped in cotton wool for all the time on my treatment. And absolutely, like, you regress so much in terms of your social development and in terms of your confidence and self-esteem.
Dr. Karen O'Neill talking about her experience of teenage cancer treatment to our reporter Peter O'Connell, and joining us now Professor Owen Smith, who's the National Clinical Lead for Children, Adolescent and Young Adult Cancers. Good morning, Professor Smith.
Morning, Anya.
And we heard from Dr. Karen O'Neill there about her experience of cancer as a teenager. What does this framework aim to achieve for the, it's approximately 400, isn't it, between children, teenagers and young adults who get a cancer diagnosis every year?
That's correct. And that amounts to approximately 2% of the total cancer burden in Ireland. So it's a small number relative to everybody else who gets cancer. But this particular age group, especially the adolescent young adults, have been lost basically in time over the last number of years. We've sorted out children's cancer, as you and your listeners probably know. All children are treated in Crumlin up to the age of 16. And that's worked out really, really well. We've got a very good sort of specialised service there, which will rank with most units around the world in Europe and North America. But with the adolescents, however, they're dispersed across the 8 designated cancer centres across the country. And as you were saying, there's around 180 to 200 of those. So the expertise, we believe, or we have believed for the last number of years, has not been in those centres. And what this framework is all about is to addressing that inequitable access to specialised cancer services that provide cancer care, expert cancer care, in this AYA population, and addresses their unique needs. And their unique needs are different to the adults and the children. For example, fertility preservation now is a major issue for this population, because we're curing around 85% of these patients. And one of the first questions that's asked at the diagnosis talk is, what are my chances of going on to have children? Now, as I say, survivorship is another issue. 85% survivor, they want to know what are the chronic toxicities that come when they survive cancer.
When you say chronic, sorry, Professor, to cut across there. Chronic toxicities, that means, because a lot of the medicine people get to kill the cancer is very poisonous. It's very toxic, and that's why it's able to kill the cancer. But it can have long-term effects. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, Anya. So, you know, up till now, we've been sort of what we would call carpet bombing cancer. We just hit everything. We hit the cancer, but we hit all rapidly dividing cells as well. And we need to be better at doing this with more targeted therapies like CAR T-cell or immunotherapies. Okay. So if you follow those patients, Anya, you will find in 10 years, 20 years, 40 years time, if they're cancer survivors, they accumulate toxicities. So we want to capture these individuals going forward and really address these issues that are unique to this population.
And I can hear the enthusiasm as you talk about this and your care for the patients that you're dealing with. On the other hand, this is just a framework, and 16-year-olds will still have to attend adult services in one of 8 hospitals around the country. When is that going to change? When will there be a dedicated service for this group?
So it's happening as we speak. So we've started to recruit some allied healthcare professionals and also doctors that specialize in this area into our own program within Crumlin. So when we move to the Children's Hospital on the St. James's campus, we're going to increase our floor plate, a number of beds from 19 that's present at the moment in Crumlin up to 28. But also we're going to increase the age up to 20 for admission. But also we've also chosen 3 of the 8 designated cancer centers that will become part of a network. And those cancer centers are St. James's, Galway and Cork. So we'll get a really good handle on following these patients, and we will get a consensus around how we treat these patients within this network. So this is happening as we speak. We've been working on this framework for the last 2 to 3 years with the NCCP and the HSC, and we are recruiting, and we're going to be developing these services to a high spec that will put Ireland in the top sort of 5 centile in the European Union for AYA cancers.
You've spoken about survivorship, you've spoken about fertility, but there's also, and Dr. Karen O'Neill there spoke about it herself, the impact on confidence and self-esteem and the importance of awareness as well in young people and getting them to come forward and get an early diagnosis and a better outcome.
Yeah, absolutely. So the psychosocial aspects of cancer in this age group is huge. And we've got a group of psychologists and social workers who are working very closely with us with this particular age group. The second part of your question then was, just repeat that, Anya, sorry, I just lost that.
The importance, because very often young people, their bodies are changing so much. They may not, getting them to come forward because you want to avoid a late diagnosis. I'm thinking of, you know, teenage boys with testicular cancer, for instance.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. So we need to sort of do an educational piece, and we are doing that at the moment. So we're going out to our general practitioners, we're going out to our accident emergency rooms as well. We're educating not just the population, but we're educating our allied healthcare professionals and our medics and nurses as well. So this is a blanket sort of educational program that we're embarking on to capture all of these patients.
Okay, thank you for speaking to us this morning. That's Professor Owen Smith, who's the National Clinical Lead for Child, Adolescent and Young Adult Cancers.